This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Byte. My name is Angeline Tay, and with me in the studio this afternoon is
Arvind Yuvaraj. And it's such a gloomy Tuesday out there, so hopefully the sun comes out soon. Anyway, we have a big update on the whole Chatime fiasco and what it all means for all 165 outlets. That's coming up later in the show. But first, we have a story on how WPP clients spent $90 million on Snapchat last year.
Yeah, so we know that Facebook and Instagram, which is also under Facebook, normally dominate when it comes to how much companies spend on ad expenditure. But Snapchat is quickly heating up the competition as more brands are starting to focus on their micro video messaging platform. According to WPP chief executive Sir Martin Sorrell, in a conversation with CNBC, WPP clients spent a whopping $90 million on advertising on Snapchat platform, a figure which was, three times of what was initially forecasted by the network. So this places the messaging app in a stronger than expected position to take a bite of the marketing and advertising pie.
Yeah, and Sorrell also added that Snapchat could become a threat to Facebook in the ad industry because of how popular it is becoming. But then he also explained the amount spent is still small compared to the $5 billion spent by Google and nearly $2 billion spent on Facebook. So I guess that if you look at it that way, then $90 million is nowhere close to the big leagues yet. We know that Snapchat is making some big changes to the way it works. That statement by Sorrell follows the news of Snapchat adding a search bar to its interface, which a lot of people say is a positive upgrade for the brand because it's looking to gain a bigger presence on the platform. And of course, now you have to wonder if this new search feature would trigger a growth in Snapchat's user base.
And let's rewind to September 2016 for a while. If you remember, eMarketer said that despite some criticisms of its ad offerings, Snapchat is still a good place for explosive growth in ad revenues in the near future. It also predicted that Snapchat will generate ad revenue of more than $350 million in 2016. Now, with the figure set to rise to over $900 million this year.
Yeah, and those are big numbers for Snapchat, which only proves how much of a serious player and social media platform it has become. Sorrell also spoke about how there are opportunities for Snapchat to leverage on the whole, the ongoing conversation on fake news by seriously looking into advertising measurement issues. And this might be perfect timing because Google and Facebook are under a lot of fire for not doing enough to combat the spread of fake articles, especially surrounding the recent US elections.
Yeah, and it's not as easy as it sounds, though. And I'm sure how much Snapchat would want to get involved in that controversy if it doesn't have to. But Sorrell says that that this is the best time because of the challenges associated with measurement as well as distrust over the media right now. So clients might want to look into experimentation when it comes to ad spend, and that's why Snapchat is a good place to capitalize on this.
Yeah, sounds pretty good for Snapchat. Last year was good for the app with its holding company changed its name to Snap Inc. because it wanted to rebrand itself as a camera company. Mm. And this happened after the company's reveal of its new camera and hardware called Spectacles, which are sunglasses made with integrated video cameras. And according to an unnamed source from Reuters, apparently the company also secretly filed for an initial public offering or IPO, making it the biggest stock market opening in more than 2 years.
Yeah, good stuff for Snapchat. And it'll be interesting to see where the company goes in 2017. And speaking of going to new places, Google's Chromebook is making some big changes this year.
Yeah, so for all you Chromies out there, I think that's what we should call Chromebook users, take note that all Chromebooks released in 2017 will support Android apps out of the box. So just like that, and you won't have to update or do any upgrades. Owners will be able to take the Chromebook home, open it up, and immediately access the Google Play Store, which is huge, and I think it's something that a lot of Chromies have been asking for a long, long time.
It's funny that Google didn't make a big deal out of this, though. The news comes from a single line of text on Google's list of Chromebooks compatible with Android apps. It basically says, all Chromebooks launching in 2017 and after, as well as the Chromebooks listed below, will work with Android apps in the coming future. And that's it.
Yeah, I guess it's a low-key thing, but something that a lot of users will be happy about. Last year, Google finally made Chromebooks compatible with Android apps, but so far, support has been limited to just a few selected models, and users had to search through a list to find out which Chromebook supports the Google Play Store. So basically, this move by Google takes the big mystery out of shopping for a new Chromebook. You basically buy a new Chromebook, and you can be sure that Android apps can work on it. Mm.
But you know what the bigger picture is, right? This addition of Android apps dramatically widens the appeal of Chromebooks. And now with the access to the Play Store, Chromebooks gain an ecosystem as deep as Windows or Mac OS. This could make Chromebook completely mainstream.
Yeah, you can find out more on Google Chrome, on the Google Chrome blog, or just Google up these keywords, Chromebook Android apps, and you'll have all the information you need.
All right, and we'll take a quick break for some music and some messages. Here's Fever with Fever by Little Willie John. And when we come back, we'll dive into the darker side of the smartphone industry. And we also have a big update on the future of Cha Time coming up. So stay tuned for that. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9. And we're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvind. Now, the dark side. And now, what's all the commotion? Basically, this is an Apple versus Qualcomm fight. Apple filed a $1 billion suit against Qualcomm. And guess what? Qualcomm fires back against Apple.
Yeah, all right. So let's break this down. What happened was Qualcomm is the leading maker of chips and has a long list of big customers like Samsung and Apple. Their revenue comes from the manufacture and sale of chips and from royalties from licensing this technology to other chip makers. So in simpler terms, they are the sole collector, which means that they are also the price maker. Qualcomm is now like a toll collector for almost every smartphone manufacturer.
Yeah, so just imagine driving to work from home and you had to pay for a toll every turning you make. And of course, in this case, Apple is the one driving and they can't take it anymore. In a statement provided to TechCrunch, Qualcomm insists on charging Apple at least five times more in payments than all the other cellular patents like licensors. Consequently, well, Apple filed a $1 billion against Qualcomm.
Ooh, so yeah, the truth also is that competition and market saturation are catching up with Apple, putting pressure on its operating margins and sales and earnings growth. So every dollar it can squeeze from suppliers will help.
Yeah, but Apple's not the first. Qualcomm's business model has been under attack by regulators and customers around the world, especially in its largest market, China. A couple of years ago, for instance, China's National Development and Reform Commission launched an investigation into the company's business practices in that country, which ended with Qualcomm paying near a $1 billion fine. But yeah.
Yeah, and apparently the Chinese government has failed to change the rules for Qualcomm, which remains a toll collector for smartphone makers.
Yeah, so that's episode one of Apple versus Qualcomm. And in the sequel, Qualcomm fires back against Apple.
Qualcomm provided TechCrunch with a response. This one comes from the company's EVP and General Counsel, Don Rosenberg, quote-unquote saying that while they're still in the process of reviewing the complaint in detail, they express that the Apple's claims are baseless, adding that Apple has intentionally mischaracterized their agreements and negotiations and value of the technology they have invented, contributed and shared with all mobile device makers through their licensing program.
Yeah, so that statement also suggests that Apple acted similarly in other parts of the world, and seeming reference to the fact that the FTC wasn't the first to get on Qualcomm for unfair practices in recent years.
Yeah, so will Apple change Qualcomm's business model? Wall Street seems to think so, and as evidenced by the sharp sell-off in Qualcomm shares today.
Yeah, it's a messy one right here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more Biz Bytes and also that story on the future of Cha Time here in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. And we are back on Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Angeline Tay, and in the studio with me today, we have Arvind, and of course, Audrey Raj has also just joined us. She rushed into the studio because she's been following the story we're about to cover next, which is Cha Time.
Yeah, so I don't drink bubble tea, but this is really an interesting development that I think many people are watching very closely.
Yeah, so I'm sure we've all heard about the recent Cha Time fiasco. It kind of caught us by surprise. The news, the bubble tea franchisor from Taiwan, La Caffa International, suddenly terminating the Cha Time franchise here in Malaysia. They had 24 years left on their contract, but decided to unilaterally terminate the deal with their Malaysian franchisee Lube Holdings earlier this month.
Yeah, and with the termination of the franchise, of course, came the concern over the livelihood of those who depended on the 165 outlets here in Malaysia, most of them run by Loop. So some 1,000 workers and their dependents are expected to be affected by the termination. So everything is hanging in the balance.
So what's the latest story on these odds? I mean, I know it has become a police case, but I also hear that Cha Time could soon be rebranded.
Yeah, so just yesterday evening, we got an update from Loop Holdings saying it will give up the Cha Time franchise franchise and create its own brand for its 165 outlets. So we've been trying to reach out to Loop Holding to find out what's really going on behind the scenes and if they can give us some insight into what's going to happen next with the bubble tea brand here. Loop haven't really been speaking to the media bar their frequent press releases, but I finally managed to chase down their CEO, Brian Liu. I spoke to him just this morning. The poor guy is down with the fever and flu, but still spoke to me about how they're dealing with the termination and plans moving forward.
So today, I believe that a lot of people are very curious, surprised over the sudden Chatham terminations. If you may allow me, that's my true feeling about it. We are equally surprised. We are equally surprised when the franchisor unilateral terminated us. So they were here, actually, to meet up with us on the Jan 5th, but with the original agenda to introduce us a new management team to discuss certain operational and contractual issues. But instead, they serve us a termination letter. And then, the next day, they announced to the world over a press conference, together with unwarranted claim on the dispute area. I'm sure that, you know, today we might not have enough time to go into detail on the dispute, but it's enough to say that all these dispute area are being dealt in accordance to a term and condition of our franchise agreement. So yes, we did report it to all the related Malaysian authority, as we want them to really take the necessary actions under the law to stop them. And we shall now leave it to them now. And after what have transpired today, I think we have officially accepted the termination last week. We're reserving all our rights to claim all the damages that happened to our brand and our company and our people. We've informed them last week that we'll stop using the brand within the next 45 days as per the franchise agreement terms. So today at Loop Holding, I'm really, really proud of my people, which have worked with us to build the F&B businesses for the past 6 years, and including taking the Taiwanese brand today literally from zero outlets to currently more than 165 outlets. Imagine at one point in time when we started our brand in 2011, there are easily a dozen of bubble tea brands out there. And today, there are very, very few brands left in the market. And we are the market leader by far. And the successful track record has contributed up to at least 50% of the franchise's global revenue that it crunched from the 800 outlets that it claimed. So this is why when the push came to the soul, I think we are more than ready to have our own brand, because we have a capable team and ever-dedicated people with a proven track record that has been proven to be able to way ahead a lot of competitions over the years.
Loop Holdings have a press conference planned for 2 p.m. tomorrow, where we should get more insight on what it plans to do next, possibly even news on the new brand to replace Chatime. I'm sure the news team will be following up on this, so look out for that tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Audrey. And, you know, if you were here behind the scenes, you would see how much we've been rushing for this update. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be off for the quick break and we'll round up all the stories we shared today and some of the highlights for the rest of the day as well. So we'll be right back. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9. This is Enterprise Biz Byte, NJ and Arvin here, still keeping you company. And here's a quick roundup of the stories we covered today. And we started today with how Snapchat is now an avenue for clients to spend millions on.
Yeah, so Sir Martin Sorrell, CEO at WPP, revealed that their clients spend a whopping $90 million on advertising on the Snapchat platform. And that's three times more than what it was initially forecasted.
Yep, then we talked about how all Chromebooks released in 2017 was support Android apps out of the box, and owners will be able to take the Chromebook home, open it up, and immediately access the Google Play Store.
And then we also highlighted the Apple suing Qualcomm saga for $1 billion over anti-competition tactics, claiming that Qualcomm insists on charging Apple at least five times more in payments than all the other cellular patent licenses, and which Qualcomm fired back and said that Apple's statement is baseless.
And lastly, Chatime franchise fiasco between La Caffa and Loop Holdings, and we got the latest update from Brian Liu himself on their plans of creating a new brand to replace all the 165 Chatime outlets in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the time we have on Biz Bytes today. Up next at 12:30 is the Breakfast Grill Repeat. Melissa Idris spoke to William Horn, MD at BioAlpha, which is an integrated herbal supplements manufacturer that plans to make inroads into China and the halal market. So that's coming up next.
All right, and thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay.
And I'm Arvin Yuvraj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.